Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Tune Up with Deb is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association. Once again, here's your host, Deb Ross.
My guest this week is Christine. She's a driving instructor with All Roads Driving Academy. So last week, Christine joined me and we talked about safe driving. And of course, my focus on safe driving is how do we save money with safe driving? Well, very obviously, we're going to reduce the number of accidents that we have. We're also going to reduce the number of tickets that we get awarded for our bad driving habits. But today we're talking about winter driving, which some of the concepts do overlap, but specifically I wanted to focus on cost-saving measures and accident prevention in terms of winter driving. So just before the break, we had been talking about the survival kit, but a question came to my mind is, how full should we have our gas tanks during the winter months?
Well, 100% or full is a good idea, but minimally, you should have it half full at all times during the winter months.
So is that just safety precaution in case we're stuck or?
Well, somebody had mentioned to me one time that if we let our tank empty in the winter time, it can create issues if it gets very cold, for one. And it could be for safety measures also. Plus, it does take a little bit longer to warm up our car. And a fellow also said to me one time, he said, the top half of the tank doesn't cost any more to fill than the bottom half.
There's a good financial tip.
Yes.
That's very appropriate for our show. So a hot topic on winter driving. Braking and accelerating. Give us some tips on how to do that properly and safely on the ice and snow that we face every year.
Well, obviously, ice and snow is going to create traction issues. So stopping and starting is going to take a little bit of extra time. So when we're starting off, if you're on a slippery section, it's a really good idea to drop it into a lower gear, because what that it does is it gives you the power without the speed, so your tires are less likely to spin. And even if you do start spinning, it's a good idea to get off the gas because you're not doing yourself any favors. So it's a good idea to always get the car rolling a little bit before you get the gas on. And stopping, well, if we think about stopping distances on dry pavement, I'm going to ask you a question, Deb.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, say a car is going 10 kilometers. This is dry pavement. A car is traveling 10 kilometers an hour. And the distance it takes to stop is X, 1X. So, if the car is going 30 kilometers an hour, how many spaces or X's would it take the car to stop?
Is this directly related to the 10 kilometers to the 30 kilometers? Are we looking
yes.
at 3 meters, 10 meters,
so,
1 meter?
So the car traveling 10, the X space is unknown. It's just 1X.
Oh, okay.
So how many X's or spaces would it take the car to stop this doing 30?
I'll guess 2. 2X?
2X? Okay, most people would say 3, but okay, very interesting, Deb.
Good brakes? I don't know what to say.
But let me put it this way. If a car is doing 10 to 20 kilometers an hour, most people will say that the car doing 10, which is 1X, a car doing 20, which is 2Xs, to stop. But stopping distance is more of an exponential, even on dry pavement. So a car that's doing 20 kilometers an hour wouldn't be just 2 times the space that the car doing 10. It's actually 4 times.
Oh, wow.
The car that's doing 30 kilometers an hour is not 2 or even 3. It's 9 times.
Wow.
Stopping distance. So that's on dry pavement. Now, if we look at snow, it takes 3 times on top of that to come to a full stop. And it could take all the way up to 10 times on ice. For example, if a vehicle at 50 kilometers an hour took 15 meters to stop on dry pavement, on snow it could take up to 45 meters, And on glare ice, it could take up to 150 meters, which is longer than the length of a football field.
But that's the car only going 50 kilometers.
Yeah, only 50.
That's not very fast when I do a lot of highway driving, you know, just in terms of perspective. Wow.
And those distances don't even include the reaction time of the driver. That's the actual stopping distance of the vehicle.
So what does that say about the space that we need to give vehicles on while we're driving on slippery roads?
So say following distance. Again, if we just look at, if we start with dry pavement, a minimal amount of space should be a 2-second rule in the city, 3 on the highway. So once a vehicle in front of you passes a stationary object, like a sign, then you start counting in seconds until the front of your vehicle passes that same sign. Now, so that's ideal road conditions or dry pavement. So now if we add in stopping space, so on ice or snow, we could be in the city, we could be looking at a 3 to 4 to 5 second rule, depending on is it snow, is it ice. It also depends what we're driving and what we're following. So if a bigger vehicle is following a smaller car, it's going to take the bigger vehicle longer to stop, the heavier the vehicle. So the heavier the vehicle, if they're following a smaller vehicle, they should even give more space. So it's not written in stone, but if we think about what a tailgater actually is, a tailgater is a driver who's following another vehicle, and if that vehicle in front needs to make a sudden stop for whatever reason, if the vehicle behind doesn't have enough time to react, respond, and to stop, that's a tailgater.
Okay. I call a lot of people tailgaters. I think I'm a tailgater. I need to rethink my habits here. This is very eye-opening. So really, we need to give more space, particularly in the wintertime when the conditions are so variable with our roads.
Yes, we have to think about stopping distance. Would we be able to stop if that vehicle in front came to a sudden break or a sudden stop?
I also notice a lot more pedestrians on not just the sidewalks, but a lot of pedestrians on our roads in the wintertime. What do you think about that?
It's a nice day to go for a walk.
Well, I do enjoy walking in the snow, but maybe they're on the roads because our roads are get top priority when it comes to clearing and our sidewalks are the afterthought. But I've also wondered if people are a little nervous about driving in the snow and so they end up taking a bus or getting a ride and then walking the rest of the distance to wherever they're headed. So it does seem like we need to pay more attention to the pedestrians on the road during the snow as well. And of course, they are there. Pedestrians are there.
Almost definitely. And kudos to them if they choose not to drive. If they don't feel comfortable driving in the winter on the snow and the ice, then why not go for a nice walk and get some exercise?
Yes, actually, that does sound quite invigorating, doesn't it? You had mentioned the phrase space cushion, and I am curious what that means.
The space cushion is the space around a person's vehicle. So if we draw a diamond, or we look at a ball diamond, and we put the vehicle right in the middle, we have the space in front, to the left, to the right, and behind. And it's critical for a driver to be aware of that space cushion around their vehicle at all times. So they should not only know what's going on in front of them, but on either sides of them and behind them, so that they have the safe following distance and that their spaces, and if you can open up a space, then you may use that space when something goes wrong. So for example, if you're driving down the road and there's two lanes and you're in the right-hand lane and you see that there is a parked car or even, let's throw in, a bicyclist who could possibly go around the parked car, which now even diminishes more of that space. So if you check that left lane and you have a vehicle that's in that lane right beside you, then it, the best thing to do would be to slow down, open up that left side so that you can give something more space on the right side. So you try not to get yourself boxed in is the whole idea. So if your left side's going to get eaten up, try to open up your right side, vice versa. And also lane choices can help in those matters too. And then if this go back to those tailgaters, all dreaded tailgaters. Now, they're not necessarily an aggressive driver. It could be somebody who's not paying full attention to their driving habits, or they could even be daydreaming or thinking about something else, and they just attach themselves to the vehicle in front of them. But they are a dangerous driver. Now, I do find the best way to handle a tailgater is to slow down rather than speed up, because some drivers get pressured into speeding up when they have a tailgater. But the best thing to do is slow down, because it decreases your stopping distance. Therefore, it decreases their stopping distance. Or if there's more than one lane, it'll deter them and they'll make a lane change, which is great. You don't want them behind you anyway. And then if something does happen, then at least the impact will be less rather than faster. Now, if that doesn't seem to work, then another thing that I do find that's very effective, and it's tried, tested, and true, is the four-way flashers. If we use the four-way flashers, then it grabs other road users' attention much quicker. And not only that, but they think your car is going to blow up, and they don't want to be around it when it happens.
Good piece of advice. Christine, can you provide us with your contact information so if our listeners need to get a hold of you, they can?
Hey, call or text me at 250-552-8800 or email me at
That's the website,
www.allroadsdrivingacademy.com, and the email address is allroadsdrivingacademy@outlook.com. Thanks, Deb.
Thanks for your time, Christine. Really appreciate it. To my listeners, thank you for your time, and we'll chat again soon.
A half-hour financial advice program, Tune Up with Deb, is produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Deb Ross is an accredited financial counselor with Intune Financial Solutions in Prince George. Be listening for Tune Up with Deb each week at this time. For previous shows or more information on Intune Financial Solutions, visit intunefinancial.ca.